Once again, taking up our study in the book of Acts, chapter number 14 tonight. We've gone through the first 13 chapters, and tonight we are looking at chapter 14 as we continue on with the missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We're just taking chapter by chapter, and just about so far we've been able to do every chapter in a session. And so tonight we're in chapter number 14. As we continue on with the mission work of the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. We have seen their travels up to this point. We've looked on the maps to see where they were. This is the third overhead that I've used. This one blows up tonight. I'm not using any more. I used Brother Bradley's and the bulb blowed on it. Used Brother Yandel's. Bulb blowed on it, so I've got Sharon's, and this one blows up, we're out. But I want to try to give you some indication of what we're looking at as far as landmass. We have looked in the different things already up to this point, how that they left Antioch over here, and they traveled to Cyprus. We talked about these two places on the far ends of the island, how that they sailed up to the area of Pamphylia and came to Perga. And last week, or week before last now, they were in Antioch of Pisidia. And tonight we find they make their trip from Antioch there in Pisidia, and they travel to Iconium. So this area here tonight is what we'll be dealing with. It's in the area of Galatia. When you read the book of Galatians, these are the churches that Paul is writing to when he writes to the churches of Galatia. But here tonight we're finding the formation and the continuing growth of the early church. They go into the city of Iconium, to Lystra, to Derbe, and then they begin to make their trail back. And tonight when we get finished, the missionaries will be already back in Antioch, over here where they started from. And they're not too far, can't see it down here, but Jerusalem. Of course, Tarsus is where Saul was from. And so it's all in this area, this first missionary journey. Looks sort of small on a map, but it's quite a few miles there that they traveled and took a lot of time. And they encountered a number of dangers and hardships as they made these journeys. And we read them real quickly, and we read them with no problem. But there were many difficulties as they made these travels. We've been dealing thus far with the continuing story of the New Testament church. We began back a few weeks ago dealing with the book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2, or chapter 1, where he gives the commission and repeats that great commission for the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And as we have continued in our study of the book of Acts, we find that the church is beginning to go into different areas. The missionaries and preachers and people, as they are scattered, when they are scattered because of persecution, they take with them not only their families and some of their goods probably, but they took with them the gospel that they had heard there in Jerusalem. And as they traveled, they began to tell people about the Lord. And so we have up to, last time, chapter 13, we sort of called this the continuing story of the New Testament church. Now, the church began with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have all kind of details in the Scripture to show us that. The church began with the ministry of the Lord and His apostles. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Lord gave that church power to go into all the world. I believe the church literally was immersed in the Holy Spirit and gave power to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And from that point on, there in Acts chapter 2, we've seen the continuation or the continuing story of this early church and these early people as they traveled into different areas and the persecutions that came to Stephen and to others and to James and others that we have studied. And in that persecution, they began to disperse. Now, last 2 weeks ago, we were in chapter 13, And we find that Paul and Barnabas are sent out by the Holy Spirit to go and to tell others about the Lord. But not only were they sent out by the Holy Spirit, they were sent out by the church. And again, the church is the expanding organism of the Lord. And the Bible tells us here that these men ministered to the Lord. They fasted, and the Holy Ghost of that told that church to separate them, Saul and Barnabas, for work. And when they had fasted, they sent them away. So the church sent them out as missionaries to preach the gospel. And now we are in this first missionary journey. And I believe in chapter 13, not only do we have the continuing story of the New Testament church, but I believe we see here the real expansion of the church as Paul and Barnabas go into the different regions to preach the gospel. And as we saw last time, always going into the synagogues, and usually opposition came from that. And the Bible says here that the whole city there in chapter 13 came out to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were moved and with envy against them. And the scripture says that they shook, that Saul and Barnabas shook the dust off of their feet, and they turned to the Gentiles. Now we come to chapter 14 tonight as they are traveling their missionary journey. Verse number 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they were both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about. So here in these six verses, we find that they have traveled from Antioch here, where they were and had the much trouble, and they go to Iconium and to Lystra and then on to Derbe. And so these missionaries, these two men, Paul and Barnabas, they continue their journey to Iconium, which is a city about 60 miles east of where they were. Now, 60 miles don't sound like much to us, but 60 miles to them was a pretty good piece to be traveling. And so they travel 60 miles, and they come to this city called Iconium, which was about 120 miles north of the Mediterranean Sea. And it's a very wealthy city. If you read the history of this city, you'll find there was much wealth there. And the name Iconium means image, and which is the same as we have today. We get our word icon from, which we have in our computers. It's the image of what we have there. So the word Iconium and icon comes from the same root word, and it just simply means image. But here in these verses, we find the ministers and the ministry of the servants of God. And these men are dedicated to be used of the Lord. And so they go, and the Bible says they both go into the synagogue. And there they spake, or they preached, and they gave their testimony concerning the grace of God. I'm glad tonight everywhere we go, we might not travel to a place called Iconium, but every place that we travel, we can give a testimony of the grace of the Lord, of what He has done in our heart and our lives continually, in the work of the Lord, that He has given to us the grace of the Lord. They were persistent in that, for verse number 3 says they continued there, or they abode there a long time. And there they were doing the proofs of the work of God with signs and wonders. But the city was divided. And I'll tell you, every time you preach the gospel, there's always a division that comes. Not everybody's going to believe it. Not everybody's going to reject it. And so there's a division here within this city, and it's all because of the preaching of these two men, these missionaries, as they traveled and as they come to this city. They go to the synagogue, and the Bible says that they went both together showing their working for the Lord together. And the Bible says that a great multitude of the Jews and the Greeks, or the Jews and the Gentiles, many of them were saved there in the synagogue as these two men preached the gospel. We can be assured that when we preach the gospel, there's going to be some that will hear. There's going to be many that will believe. There'll be some that will understand the message and they'll call upon the Lord. And of course, these men were in this early stages of the New Testament church era. And God gave them ability to do signs and to do wonders. And these things were prevalent in the ministry of these two preachers. But there's always the menace. There's always the problem. As we have read all the way through up to this point in the book of Acts, every time God has blessed, the devil has raised his head. Every time the Lord has given them something that they can rejoice in, there's a persecution or there's a problem, there's a difficulty that arises. And here in these verses where we read just a moment ago in verse number 2 and verse number 4 through 7, as we read these verses, the multitude in the city was divided. And verse number 2 says, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. They had set their heart and their mind that they were not going to believe, and they didn't want anybody else to believe, and so they set their heart to be evil affected against the brethren, against the apostles. The city is divided on that, and they are ready to be stoned, and the rulers there to use them despitefully and to stone them. And so here in the city of Iconium, it doesn't tell us how long they were there, but as they were in this city, the gospel was preached in this area. And many people believed, Jew and Gentile alike, and that caused a real problem. And of course, their attitude of that was that we'll destroy them, we'll stone them. And so the Scripture says that they were aware of it. The apostles became aware of what was happening, or going to happen, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe. So they go from Antioch to Iconium. Why do they travel that far? It's because of persecution. It's because of the things that were going on in Antioch of Pisidia. And they was not going to hear the Word of God. And the Bible says there in verse number 46 of chapter 13 that Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the Word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so now, trouble in Antioch, and they go to Iconium, and there's trouble in Iconium. Why? The same thing, the preaching of the gospel. And there's trouble all across our world tonight because of the preaching of the Word of God, because of the message that we hold and the message that we tell. We believe there's only one way to heaven. That's not too popular in our day and time. We believe it's Jesus and Him alone. He alone that will take us to glory. It's not four or five different ways. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And so therefore that is our message. And that will divide people. That'll make them turn from you and makes many people very upset with you. And so we find here that they are preaching, and the proof of it is in the signs and the wonders that they're giving. And the city is divided over this, the unbelieving Jews, and they try to pollute all the Gentiles, and they make their minds evil against the brethren. And their plan is that they're going to assault them and use them despitefully and stone them. That's a pretty good plan, unless you're on the other side of it. And when they found out, as they became aware of that, they fled to Lystra and to Derbe, as we see those cities on the map up there. They travel to another area, to another location. But the thing that they had was, it might have been a different location. If you look at verse number 7, they had the same message. They find themselves in the region that lieth around about Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Laconia. And there they preached what? The gospel. Boy, I'm so glad somebody preached the gospel to me. I'm so glad that I had a church that would preach the gospel, had a preacher that would preach the gospel. And because of that, one day I heard and understood, and the Spirit of God drew me with His Holy Spirit, and I became a child of the King. And that preacher that I listened to preached the same thing that Paul and Barnabas preached, and that's the gospel. And you and I tonight, in these days in which we live, we are still in this expanding and continuing story of the New Testament church. Oh, it's been some 2,000 years since this has taken place, but we are still preaching the very same thing. It's the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we preach the gospel, we ought not to be too surprised when there is division. When we preach the gospel, we ought not to be too surprised that there are folks that just don't want that, they don't like that. And we should not be too surprised that many times it's the religious crowd that doesn't want it. Usually it was the religious group that was against Paul and his ministry and Barnabas. And so they find themselves in Derbe. In verse number 7, they preached the gospel. So here we find they go to Lystra and to Derbe, and they preach the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to Lystra. They come to this little city here that doesn't look too far away. It's certainly not 60 miles like they have just traveled. They've come now to Lystra. I'm not sure exactly, probably maybe 10, 15, possibly 20 miles south of where they were. And they are in this city. And verse number 8 says, there was a man there. And the scripture says, at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. So they come to this new city and they encounter this man that is totally helpless to be able to do anything for himself. The condition of the man here in this verse that we just read tells us that he was unable to move. He was unable to stand. And he had been that way from birth. And he had never walked a step. He had never been able to get up and to do things like other folks had done. And he finds himself there and he hears Paul speak and he looks upon him. Verse number 9 says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright to thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in a speech of Laconian, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Now you have to understand, this city that they're in is a city that is a heathen city. They have all kind of ideas as far as God is concerned and gods are concerned. You'll notice here that they, when this takes place, they say that the gods have come down to them in the likeness of men. So we find here that this man was concerned. He heard Paul speak, and then Paul perceived that he had certain faith, and Paul had the faith, and God had the power. I'm glad tonight God has the power to take care of every problem we have, every difficulty of life. But first and foremost, He takes care of that inner need that we must have a Savior, we must have a Deliverer, we must have redemption, or we'll die without God and go to hell. And here, God had the power to not only heal this man, but as the crowd saw that, they knew a notable miracle had taken place. And they honored Paul and Barnabas, but it was a wrong kind of honoring. Paul and Barnabas, if it had been some of this crowd runs around today, they'd probably enjoyed what they said about them. But Paul, he beckons them not to do that, as we'll find here in just a moment. But they lift up their voices and they intend to give a sacrifice, because they say the gods have come and they have manifested themselves in the likeness of men. It doesn't tell us here too much about all the things that Paul said, but I can just imagine that Paul probably preached about the Lord Jesus Christ that came in the likeness of man. And certainly that is the message that we have, the incarnation of the Lord. So they lift up their voices and they intend to give a sacrifice. Look in verse number 11. We just read verse number 12. And they call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. When the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. I mean, they have really gotten to the point that they believe that gods have come down and made themselves manifest to them. They call one Mercurius, they call Barnabas, Jupiter, and of course these are the gods of the Grecians, and they are getting ready to offer a sacrifice. And boy, that puts Paul and Barnabas in a predicament. Here they are, men of God, and they're not about to be worshipped as a god. And they certainly are not wanting to have a sacrifice made in their honor, because they realize that is totally opposite of what the Scripture teaches. And so here these men are lifting up their voices and they're saying, we have a God, gods that have manifested themselves in the likeness of men. We're going to worship them. We're going to sacrifice unto them. Now notice verse number 14. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all the things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these things scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Paul and Barnabas, they realized the seriousness of the situation. And they say, we are men of like passions. We are just like you. Paul said, we're not gods. We're men like you. And they ran among the people crying this. And they preached that they should turn from their vanities and turn to the living God. You know what we call that? We call that repentance. Turning from this world, turning to God, and repenting of our sin. And so they preached that they should turn to the living God. And Paul says, He is the God of creation. He made heaven and earth and everything that's there. He has made that. And they don't want the honor. And so they are certainly telling them that in times past suffered all nations to walk their own way. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without a witness. Thank God He's always had a witness. And I believe He always will have a witness. The Scripture says, will He find faith when He comes again? I believe He'll find faith. I believe it'll be very shallow. I believe it'll be very little. I believe there'll be not much of it, but there will be faith. God's always had a witness. And you read the Scripture, when He raptures His people out of this world, He still has a witness during the tribulation. He has that 144,000 manifested Jews that are going around preaching the gospel during that particular time. So God has always had His witness. And so Paul and Barnabas, they are working very diligently. They run among the people and say, Sirs, don't do these things. We're men just like you. And in verse 18, and when these sayings, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So he stopped the idolatrous sacrifice that was going to be made and discontinued these things. And I'm sure Paul and Barnabas were very satisfied in their heart that they were not set up as gods, because they were men just like everyone else. And they had a message and they preached the gospel. Now you'll notice verse number 19, because of some of these things, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch. Now this is Antioch of Pisidia. This is the Antioch that we studied two weeks ago. This is the place where they were ready to kill Paul and Barnabas. Now they've traveled. These Jews that were after them, they've traveled, and now they find themselves at Lystra. And the Scripture says, and these came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So here they, in Lystra, they did stone the Apostle Paul. Now, these are the activist Jews that come from Antioch. They join up with the Jews there in Iconium. They travel down to Lystra, and they, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. There's the harassing. There's the persistent persuading of the Jews to stir up the people. And they stone Paul. But thank God for the perseverance, the preservation of the saints of God. Look at verse number 20. Howbeit. I like that word. They thought he was dead. They pulled him out of the city. They drug him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, this is Paul, he rose up, came into the city, and in the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Here they stone the apostle Paul. They think he's dead. And the scripture says, as the disciples stood around him, they maybe thought he was dead also. They had their own feelings also. But as they did that, the Bible says he rose up and he comes back into the city. He goes back to the city of Lystra. And then the next day they go to the city of Derbe. So here we are from Lystra to Derbe. The travel from that one place to the other. So we find here the continuing ministry of the Apostle Paul is continued to be troubled with difficulties. Somebody says, well, they must have been doing something wrong. Surely you wouldn't have that much trouble if you're doing something wrong. No, sometimes doing things right causes you that much trouble. Because the devil's going to fight as hard as he can against people that do right, try to serve God, live for the Lord, live in the principles and the precepts of God's Word. The devil's going to fight you hard. And of course, this is what was done with the Apostle Paul. He finds himself and goes to the city of Derbe. Now, you'll notice when he gets there, and when they had done the same thing, in verse number 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city. I like when you read about the Apostle Paul. He was always doing the same thing. He was always preaching the gospel. Now, we find ourselves in the city of Derbe, which is about 30 miles from Lystra. And there they preached the gospel, verse number 21, and had taught many. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. That doesn't tell us how long they were in this city of Derbe, but it does tell us it was long enough to preach the gospel. It tells us they were there long enough to teach many. Now, how long that is, the scripture is quiet on that. But what they are doing, they are exercising the Great Commission. They are in evangelization and they're in discipleship. When you win someone to the Lord, you need to teach them something. So many people go out and win people, but they never do take the time to disciple them. They don't take time to teach them. They don't take time to do the whole commission. The Bible says we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then later on it tells us that we're to teach them those things and then to teach them according to all things. We teach them in salvation, that's evangelization, and we teach them all things, that's the teaching of the Word of God. That's what we call education. And so Paul and Barnabas, they are exercising, they are doing the Great Commission. They're preaching and they're teaching. And I believe it's very, very important. And I believe if a church is going to do very much for the Lord, you've got to have, of course, evangelization. There's got to be people saved. But you've got to teach them. You've got to take time to open the Word of God. What we're doing tonight is, and as we go through these different lessons, what I'm trying to do is to teach you and to show you how God blessed that early church. And if He'll bless the early church, He'll bless this church if we do what He says as the early church did. And so teaching is the part of the Great Commission of discipleship, of learning, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. To have our feet grounded, not to be tossed to and fro, as the Scripture says, that we ought not to be tossed by every wind of doctrine that comes by. We ought to know what we believe. And the only way we're going to know what we believe is to get it out of the book, Find it in the Scripture. This is what the Bible says. This is why we believe it. This is why we stand upon certain things. And so we are grounded in God's Word. And therefore, when someone comes knocks on your door with some other gospel, you can say, no such thing. When they come to you with another message, you can say, that's not according to Scripture. When they come to you with another whole way of doing things, and the traditions that we hold, many of them, that come from the Scripture, we cannot be deterred from that because we believe the Word of God. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. We believe in certain things that ought not to shake us when somebody comes along and say, "Well, that's not true." We believe in we believe in eternal salvation. That ought not to bother us when somebody else does not believe that. We can say, "This is what the Scripture says." And so, Paul, not only did he evangelize, not only did he go around preaching and winning people, but the Bible says here that he took time and he taught many. Now, there's not a whole lot of information here in verse number 20 and 21. In verse number 20, it says he rose up, he came to the city, and the next day he departs. We find in verse number 21 that he comes to Lystra, or he comes to Derbe, and there he preaches and teaches, and now he begins to make his trip back. The Bible says he leaves Derbe, he goes to Lystra, he goes to Iconium, and goes back to Antioch. He's making his return journey now. He has gone as far as the Lord has permitted him to go, and now he is making his traveling back, returning back to Antioch, that where he started from, where we read in chapter 13, where they left this city of Antioch. Don't get the two mixed up. This is Antioch of Pisidia. This is Antioch that the church where Christians, where people that were saved were first called Christians. And so he is beginning now to make his journey back to his where he started. He goes back to Lystra. He goes to Iconium. He goes to Antioch. Somebody says, why in the world would he want to go back that way? For though in those cities, the two cities, they wanted to stone him, and one city they did stone him, thinking and hoping he was dead. Why would he want to go back? Well, verse 22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter to the kingdom of God. He goes back to these three cities, and he really just tells them, ought not to think it strange. Because when you come to salvation, when it comes to the work of God, you're going to enter into the kingdom of God with much tribulation. Troubles always follow the gospel. Too many times preachers have been guilty of telling someone, now if you'll get saved, God will take care of all your problems. Well, God will take care of one problem. He'll take care of the sin problem. But we have a lot of problems that we have to deal with many times because we are a Christian. And so Paul goes back to these three cities, confirming the souls. He is encouraging them. If they see him come back, he exhorts them to continue in the faith. And how better could be an example to continue in the faith as for this man, the Apostle Paul, to go back to the cities where they tried to destroy him and left him for dead and wanted to destroy his ministry. So he goes back from Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch at confirming the souls. Look at verse number 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord of whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now here we find some more words, sometimes hard to... Pisidia is the region. Pamphylia is the region. Galatia is the region. These are not cities. These are like, I guess the best way we could maybe identify with, these are counties. These are places where churches were located. And so the Bible says here that he had traveled in the region of Pamphylia. Doesn't tell us where all he went, but he's traveling, continuing there. And as he goes through Pisidia and Pamphylia and all these churches that have been established in Lystra and Derbe, Iconium and Antioch, these churches had to have leadership. And the Bible says here that they ordained them elders in every church. The word elder there just simply talks of the leadership of the church or the pastor. And so they ordained them spiritual men in every church to be leaders in that church and for them to teach these folks that have been saved in all these cities, all this region here. There's multitudes of believers. And so they've ordained them leadership, elders, and they are to teach and to continue in the faith. And so when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfill. So here, you can hardly see it, there's Antioch. And they travel now, Mediterranean Sea, and they come all the way back to Antioch. When they left, they went this way, all the way around. They came back, preached in this region, and they left Antioch, and they sailed all the way back to Antioch. First missionary journey. We've read it real quick. I mean, two sessions. It took some time for that to transpire and for it to take place. I want you to notice verse number 26. They sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work. What is that? The church sent them out. They were sent out by that local church of Antioch. And the Bible says here they had recommended to the grace of God. Notice the last three words. I believe this is as important as anything in the verses we've read tonight. The Bible says, which they fulfilled. God gave them a job. God gave them a task. And they fulfilled it. A little bit later on in Paul's life, Paul says, I've kept the faith. Paul says, I've finished my course. I think one of the great things about the Apostle Paul was that he fulfilled what God gave him in his life. The Bible says in verse number 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, what is that? Church of Antioch. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith for the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. We have missionaries come by every once in a while, and they report to us what is taking place. Sunday week ago, we had Brother Jeff Bassett, missionary in Uganda. And he reported to us of all the churches and the things. And my Jeff has done a tremendous job in in the mission work there in Africa. A multitude of churches have been established. He showed us the video. He showed us the pictures. You know what he was doing? He was doing the very same thing that Paul and Barnabas did here at that time when they come back to Antioch. They've sailed the Mediterranean. They've left one city, sailed all the way across that area of the Mediterranean. They come back to Antioch, the church where they'd left, ever how many months, maybe years had passed. And they've come to that church and they gather the church together. Wasn't it great that you can gather a church together? Tonight we've gathered together. We've come together for purpose. When we have a missionary come, he gathers us together and they rehearse in our ears all that God has done for them. And the Bible says here how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have some kind of way of recording what the Apostle Paul reported back? All the things and all the occurrences that had happened in his ministry and all the things that he reported back to these people of Antioch that had no idea of what all had taken place in those areas. Well, some of those folks probably had never heard of those cities. And here comes the Apostle Paul, and he tells them how God had opened the hearts and how people had been saved. And he had rehearsed in how God had opened the door of faith. And then the Bible says, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. I haven't looked it up. I'm sure there's somebody that has figured out how long it took for these things. But primarily what we're dealing with is just Scripture. But Paul and Barnabas, after they're traveling, they give a good report. They give a good record of what's happened. And verse 28 tells us they had a good rest. They were there for a long time with their home church. They're there with those people that laid hands on them, Acts 13. Those folks that they had worked with, the Scripture says that Paul and Barnabas was there for a number of years before this took place. And so these are friends and these are brethren that have laid their hands on them, sent them out, and they've come back to report. And now they're just sort of resting a little while, and as we might say, waiting on further orders. And before long, we'll find that God gives them another order, and they go on that second missionary journey, not Paul and Barnabas this time, but Paul and Silas. And so the church continues to expand. The church continues to grow, and I say church, I use that word very, very loosely. The people of God are being saved. Churches are being established. The work of God is growing. And Paul and Barnabas come back and say, hey, this is what's happened. Here's the blessings. I'm sure they shared with them possible some of the hardships. And there are hardships in the ministry. In Lystra, when they thought Paul was dead, that may have been the time when Paul makes an account later on in the book of Acts where he knew a man some 14 years ago, whether in the Spirit or not in the Spirit, he said, I know not. He was carried up into the third heaven. That possibly could have been where that took place. But we find the great work of the Holy Spirit, the actions of the Spirit of God in founding and forming and then growing the people of God. And that's what the book of Acts is all about. And may God help us to continue to understand and see how the hand of God is in this work, how He expands the ministry. And churches now are now where there was the Church of Jerusalem and the Church of Antioch. That's all there was. I mean, when you had the disbursement of Jerusalem down here, many of them went to Antioch, and Antioch becomes a center figure, becomes a very important church. And now out of Antioch, you have a church here, a church here, a church here, churches here, churches here, churches here, churches here probably. It's expanding. Why? Because somebody's faithful to the call of God. And they finished what God gave them to do. That ought to be the desire of every Christian, is to say, for the Lord to be able to say, well done, thou good, faithful servant. And God help us to be that kind of a Christian, that we would do what He tells us as we serve Him. Let's stand together tonight.